Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Lady Abba and Lord Knight.
So as priests and priestesses,
yes,
we
sir.
Often give advice.
Yes.
All right. But there is a problem in doing this. And that is that we wind up getting everybody's emotional baggage. So how do we prevent from being someone's emotional tampon?
Well, so, the first thing we have to address is that there is, yes, priests and priestesses do deal with a lot of different subjects, things, problems, complaints, right, that people bring to them. But here we're talking about emotional bleeding or emotional hemorrhaging, which, first of all, is addictive.
Yes.
Because anyone who's had a good vent and felt better afterwards, yes, you become dependent on that process.
Right.
And so as priests and priestesses, because we get it on an even more raw, more open level from people sometimes, yes, it feels like they're hemorrhaging all over you. And I will never forget Lady Maya, right, years ago telling me just that. You are not an emotional tampon. That is not your job is not to stop the bleeding.
No.
Which, admittedly, right, it's a fucked up thing to say. Because you go, if someone's bleeding out, I want to stop the bleeding. But again, we have to make that distinction. Emotional. Not physical. No one is actually dying.
No.
And that's the hard thing. When we see someone in distress, when we see someone in an emotionally or mentally compromised place, we want to fix. We want to stop it. We want to help it. We want to, yeah.
We want to fix it.
But what are we sacrificing to do so? And what does it do to us?
And at what point does anybody actually believe we can fix other people's problems?
And there's that. Clerical burnout is very real.
Oh, God, yes.
I've taken sabbaticals. I know many other priestesses who have taken sabbaticals.
Mm-hmm.
I've known more than a few priests who have taken sabbaticals. I don't think you ever have.
No.
Not technically.
Not technically.
No. You had a move. It's different. You had a physical move that kind of forced a sabbatical, but right. It's not really the same thing. But yeah, there's times where we just have to go, okay, I need a break. It's too much. And usually when that happens, it's, yeah, because we're trying to sop up a bloodbath and we're getting nowhere.
Because we believe people have the ability to fix their own problems because they are the source of their problems.
Yes. However, other side of the coin, right?
Right.
Because we are spiritual advisors and we feel responsible for someone's spiritual growth.
Well, we jokingly do this sort of sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We refer to our neophytes sometimes between me and you as our kids.
Yes, but they are.
But it's because we think of them like this. They need our help. They need our guidance.
We are considered spiritual mothers and fathers. And throughout the community, I've never met anyone who's not referred to their initiates, their neophytes, as their kids.
Right.
Because that is what you're doing. You're giving guidance and you're, you know, helping this person on this path. Now, unlike rearing an actual child, right, we have to continuously remind ourselves these are adults.
These are adults.
They have gotten this far in life without us. We do not suddenly have to, yeah, step in and fix all the things for them. This is great because this happened to me not that long ago. A friend of mine was sort of bearing his soul. You know, he was saying something that it felt disparaging. It felt like he was kind of shitting on himself.
Right.
And I went, no, don't say, right? So immediately I'm like trying to soothe it, right? The mommy comes out.
Yeah.
You got it. Like, no, don't do that. Dude, don't say that. And Oh, it was such a brilliant moment. He stopped me and he said, "It is okay to let me feel my feelings and not feel responsible for them or like you have to do anything." And I went, "You asshole, you just priested me and you're not even a pagan." And but it was a brilliant moment. It's it really was. And he was like, "You don't have to do anything." He's like, "I am allowed to feel these things, to say these things, to express these things, and I expect nothing from you in return other than to just hear me." And I went, "Wow, that's a very emotionally intelligent human." Now, the problem is sometimes when we're dealing with the kids, they don't all think that way.
No.
So they come to us with an expectation of we fix.
Well, you see.
But we don't really.
Let's get back to this. We don't fix. Okay. I remember this priestess who came to my house one time. All right. It's this lovely woman. Love her to death. All right.
Whenever he says this, he's talking about me, by the way. This is pretty obvious.
With her boyfriend at the time. Mm. In which they proceed to sit here and we go through some counseling stuff.
Right.
All right. Now, this wasn't that bad. Y'all left. Y'all were happy.
Right.
Y'all
but it was basically like marriage counseling. Right. Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, you come back for your class.
Mm-hmm.
In which I sit here and start to explain to you, this is how we counsel. Mm. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fix your problems. If you've noticed, all I ask you is, how did that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Why did that make you feel that way?
Right.
Right. I never actually did anything. And when I told you I didn't fix anybody's problems, you looked like you were going to, if you had a dagger on you.
Well, yes.
You were going to stab me.
Because there's an irony, right? That we are, most people, most congregants are so removed from the clergy that's almost what we've been taught to believe, that clergy does that. And no, they don't.
No.
Most clergy's only job is to propose a different way of thinking, a different viewpoint, or to really get you to accept your own feelings
on the subject.
Yeah, and to stop fighting yourself. And that's about it. You can almost take God out of the equation and go, yes, it's a minor form of psychotherapy. Are we psychotherapists? Absolutely not. But it is a similar process. It's also how group therapy works, right? AA, NA, any of those, any support group of any kind, that's the group collective. The difference is we aren't always operating as a group. A priest or a priestess might be operating independently.
Right.
And that's the rough part, because there can be one of us and 20 of them.
Oh, God.
Maybe more. Yeah.
I mean,
I will say.
We know those elders who get ran by everybody. Everybody's temples.
I will say, if you are clergy and your group is too large, deal with it. There's a reason why many, many covens cap their numbers at 13.
Mm-hmm.
Because 13 is about all you can reasonably juggle if you are by yourself.
Yes.
And even that's a
lot. Pushing
it. Yeah.
That's pushing it.
Because until you get to a place where, yes, you have other clergy that have gone through the ranks and you know, you have peers in that, oh, man, your phone will never stop ringing. Your emails will never say it's constant, and it can feel like you're being suffocated by other people's stuff. And of course, because we feel, right, we dwell on it, we think about it, we ruminate on it. It's hard. It's hard to separate.
It is.
But it is two things that are critical. One, you have to, it's the old metaphor, right? You've got to put your oxygen mask on first.
Right. Before helping anyone
else. Yeah. You are no good to them if you yourself are not in a good place. So if you are the one who needs some guidance, then goddammit, go get off your ass, tuck your tail, right? Put the ego aside and make the phone calls and do what you need to do to reach out. I've had to do it many times where I have called other priestesses and I have literally started the conversation with, the priestess needs a priestess. And they go, ah, okay. Because they know exactly what I'm asking them in that moment. And I'm saying, do not treat me like another third. Do not treat me like, no. I need you to treat me like I am a neophyte or a first degree right now.
Right.
Dumb it down and work with me, you know?
You know, I have my, because again, most people don't understand this. Me and you, we, high priest and priestesses have their own issues.
Oh, God,
on top
yes.
of all of this.
Jesus.
That we have to deal with.
And it is funny because we do, admittedly, we put our shit aside.
Yes.
But that also is, I mean, it's a mantra for many groups. It's the good of the collective, not the benefit of the one. So we have to put our own crap aside, whatever it might be, and proceed with a group activity, ritual, whatever it might be, with that knowledge in mind that whatever's happening with us is not that important right now.
No.
So yes, there's many a times where we've had coven members come in and go, hey, how is everything? Great.
Great.
Everything's so great. It's fine. And we are lying through our teeth. And that's okay.
I would put it to you this way. I'll put it to you. You might have caught on before other people did. But there were times we would do ritual at our place. And you could tell me and Lord Oswin had just had a fight before everybody got there.
Oh, sure.
But to your face, oh, no, everything's
no,
fine.
No, because we're still humans. I mean, it happens.
It happens.
I used to get so worked up. When I first was running the group, so I never got to Hive, right? I never did that. Technically, I could, but I haven't had a reason to. But I never really got to Hive. When you moved geographically,
right.
I took over the existing temple and continued to run it in your absence as you were kind of settling in to your new life. And I used to be so wound up about all the minutiae and little things that I remember right being drilled into me as a neophyte and a first. Are the floors clean? Is everything vacuumed? Is, you know, are the litter boxes clean? Does the dog stink? I mean, you like, it was all, is everything exactly where it needs to be as it should be? Is it perfect? Now, right, many years later.
Let me say, thank the gods she learned this lesson.
Yeah, for sure. Many years later. I keep my home presentable anyway.
Right.
So I don't really give a shit as much anymore. Do I care? Yes. But am I going to stress myself out and fret and freak out about all the little things? No. Because the irony of why that was drilled into us at first is because that is the service component of being a first degree, is that if they have the time, the ability, and the wherewithal, they can volunteer to come do some of those things to help out. If they failed to do so, I get to just shrug my shoulders and go, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Whatever room is a little, my bedroom, right? It's a little messy because I didn't get to put all my laundry away. Okay. It is what it is.
Right. I mean, with that said, though, it's not like people are in your bedroom doing ritual.
No. And I mean, sure, you know, you clean up, but it's just not making as insane an effort anymore.
Not.
And I think that part of that definitely frees us up emotionally, spiritually, to be in a better place to assist. But that bleeding component, man, some people inside of a group, well, they take up more time than others.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're taking up more time because you see the potential in that person and you realize that their future in craft may be more involved or invested than others.
Yes.
Literally, you're basically going, I'm looking down the barrel at a third at some point in the future. This person has that capability. I want to nurture it.
Well, again, what most people don't understand is we're always hunting for our replacement.
Well, yeah. Versus, right?
Right.
The individual who really, truly is just a little needy. Maybe a lot needy. Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to set boundaries. That's, to me, the biggest way to stop.
This might wind up being
a tampon.
This might start a different conversation.
Mm.
All right. Not trying to. But how do we stop that? How do we stop that member from being that person?
So to me, again, that's boundary setting. I think it's an understanding of if they're taking up too many resources or eating up too much of your time or taking too many liberties, you really have to, I prefer to do it without singling them out, right? Address it to the group about, these are my office hours now, or this is when I'm available for this sort of thing. Guys, you can't text me at all hours of the day and night because my phone is constantly going and it's stressing me out. It's creating a boundary.
Now, and again, with all that said, there's a difference between sitting there going, okay, if you have a legitimate emergency.
Sure. But versus, under normal circumstances, yeah.
Versus I just broke a nail.
And sometimes it's also directing people in a new way to approach it, you know. Instead of calling me every single time, start putting it in a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And once a month, we will sit down and we will address the things that are still occupying space in your mind.
Right.
Because those are the most important ones. And you start to, wean them off of some of that. But it can be hard. And I think the worst part is when you are faced with the decision of having to let somebody go.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a firing. It's a very strange thing when we have to do it, but it's basically letting someone know that the group is no longer a fit for them.
Right.
Or vice versa.
I mean, that stuff does happen. And...
Yeah. Yeah. And if someone is just that much of a vampire, you may have to make that decision.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, when these same people start taking up everybody's ritual time and class time
we've
and all this
it.
Other stuff,
mm-hmm.
you have to sit there and go, no,
yeah.
Everybody has to get.
Yep. Disruptors are very real, though. And it's very real to have a me kind of person. And I remember, Lady Maya just going salt bath and just, because it was like, you need to go ground. You are untethered. You are floating around this. You like go ground your shit and leave it outside. But some people never quite get the hang of that.
No, some people don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad,
it's
frustrating, but we it's one of those things we have to accept. Yeah, it's always been a really fascinating topic of what does it, and I mean, this really is truly the priesthood in action.
Right.
I mean, because.
I mean, this is what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to be the craft of the wise.
Yeah.
You know, people are supposed to come to us for advice.
But sometimes it's just too much.
But sometimes it's just too much.
Or you feel like you're saying the same thing over and over. To the same person.
To the same person. That it, and I'll admit that, mm-hmm. When they're coming in, it's the same problem as last week, mm-hmm. as the week before, and we're not moving on.
Have you ever advised that someone actually go seek counseling?
Oh, God,
outside
yes.
of you.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we keep a list of local therapists. And some do it by scales.
Yeah.
Other people don't.
Yeah.
Which I probably need to go get that updated. But
easy enough. But it's sometimes it really is beyond us and someone needs that. And other times, we can partner people.
I think that's because people don't understand. Our advice is spiritual advice.
Right.
Not mental advice.
Right.
So hence the reason why in the world we should be sending people to seek out therapy when necessary.
If you feel like you are suddenly acting as an armchair therapist, no. It's time to accept that that's not your area of expertise and call in a pro. I've also partnered people before, meaning almost like mini sponsorships, going, this person is dealing with X. Well, this person over here also dealt with that previously. They've done a good job with it. Let me see if I can buddy them up.
Right.
And sometimes that works out really well.
And this really works out good for Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon all this.
Yeah.
So this helps because it gives somebody in the temple that understands
absolutely what they've been through and some of their experiences
and some of their experience, and they also understand the religion. And you ain't got to go back and do that. Because I remember when I went to go see a therapy, I always found it more aggravating because I wound up spending more time trying to explain to them how my religion works so they could give me better therapy.
See, ironically, I think. For me, therapy has been amazing. I'm a better priestess because of therapy.
Right.
But what I do find funny in what you just said is it's kind of that I just feel like a lot of people, when they think about their clerical duties or what they're actually going to be doing versus what happens.
Right.
It can be a little bit of a surprise, but... Okay, here's the real question I'm getting at. I have heard other members of the clergy, not in our church, but other members, talk about warding themselves from everyone else in the group.
Right.
What's your thought on that?
I can understand the thought behind it because when you're sitting there and you're working with people like this constantly and all this, and they have issues, real issues, not.
Yes.
All right. It can tend to rub off on you. I mean, again, we're clergy. We're not therapists.
Yeah.
All right.
My only concern there is if you're doing it in ritual space. You're warding yourself from them, but you've cut yourself off
too.
Yeah. And that is kind of messed up. Because how can you be spiritually accountable and open and vulnerable in those moments if you're locking yourself down?
If you're standing there in a suit of armor.
Right. Yeah. To basically deflect
everything
else. So that's dicey. I could see maybe doing it one-on-one.
I can see it one-on-one because, again, that would be my only concern is taking that in or being exposed to that energy for too long of a period of time might make you a little bit more depressed.
Yeah.
Might make you...
It can influence, sure.
It can influence.
Yeah. Their emotions can rub off. There's no doubt about that.
You know, it does happen. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still believe one's will determines... how they're going to act, but.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing is clergy would benefit greatly from doing a little bit of research into what exactly therapists and psychiatrists and people in the mental health fields do to not be plagued by their work.
Right.
And to... Yes, to be able to put it down at the end of the day and walk away and not have it...
Not let it affect you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked at a hospital. One of the areas I had to manage was the psychiatric floor.
Yeah.
Now, while I might not have talked to many patients, but talking to some of the stuff I've heard from the nurses...
It's rough.
These people have problems.
One of my favorite mottos, it comes from the psychiatric nursing community. do no harm, take no shit. I used to have it on a t-shirt, but literally it's the motto of psych nurses because that's how they have to operate. They're like, I will do anything to prevent, you know, my patients from undergoing harm, but at the same, I'm not going to put up with a bunch of crap. And psych nurses, man, they are tough as nails. But when they go home, they let it go. And that's an amazing skill because, man, these people see some shit.
Well, I mean, cops have to do the same thing.
True.
They're around people that are not the most nicest people.
Yeah.
And then not being able to, not taking that home.
It's rough. It's just like if you've ever been in a relationship that wasn't, you know, like you got your heart broken and then the next person you got with, you took it all out on them.
Right.
You know, you kind of, right, like they became the target. Because, I mean, I'm just being honest here. People do it, right? It's a very common thing. When you it's sort of the same. It's like, how do I prevent that bleed over?
Right.
So that I'm not letting what I've seen or what I've been through start to bounce off me onto other people. Yeah, it's kind of wild. But yeah, no, we are not tampons. It's not our job to stop the bleeding. It's not our job to soak it all up.
It's not our job to fix it.
No.
It is our job to guide.
Yeah. Once in a blue moon, I will say it. Once in a blue moon, yep, we're putting on a tourniquet for somebody. But it is literally, it's the emotional equivalent of an ER.
Right.
This is not a permanent fix. This is to keep you stable right now. And tomorrow, we're bringing in professionals.
Real help.
Yeah, we're bringing in real help. Exactly.
We're blowing this all up. It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah. Because we have to know our own limits if we are going to be effective. And it's what I find interesting. And I think that there is a different, like, as clergy ages too, we become more humble because we've seen more of it. We've experienced it, you know, and every now and then we meet the new, very new priest or priestess, very newly titled, and we're like, oh, you haven't seen it yet. Oh, it hasn't happened. It's coming.
Oh, I can't wait.
Don't you worry.
I can't wait till that first time.
Yeah. They're again, a little bit too much ego, a little bit
I mean, let's admit it. Not like haven't ever sat there going, I give her 2 weeks and I'll be getting a phone call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But sometimes that's what we have to do. That is ironically part of it. And I think when you and I, especially, I won't speak for others, but when you and I look at somebody and go, you're a witch, you figure it out. Even though it seems a little harsh, that's basically what we're saying to them.
Yes.
Yeah. We're putting it back in their corner and going, you have the skills. You have what you need.
We have given you so many classes and all this. We have taught you all this stuff. Use these tools.
Right.
That's
use these tools first. If that doesn't work, then come back to me. But ironically, I'd say almost 100% of the time, the tools work.
The tools work. And then the majority of the times, this is what winds up happening is that first person comes over to your house and you go, well, have you tried these tools? Mm-hmm. They look at you, go, oh, so I just came over here and wasted.
Yes. Yes, you did. Because I'm going to send you right back out.
I'm
going to
send you right back out.
Now, that being said, if you are a clergy and you are not investing time into those sorts of classes, into what I'm going to call problem solving and life counseling methods, then you got a problem on your hands.
Yeah.
Because of course you're inundated. These people don't have a direction.
No. And you have no skill. You've never been taught any skills or anything to deal with this.
Which means now is an excellent time to start looking at guest speakers and other priests and priestesses, or even somebody from outside of the pagan community to start imparting this knowledge. And then you'll start to see a big difference.
Now, let me ask this question. When you do get that phone call, when you do get that, and it is a serious phone call.
Yeah.
Someone's about to hurt themselves.
Right.
Somebody has
right
really bad feelings, whatever. What That phone rings. You answer it.
Mm-hmm.
You say hello. What follows next for us as priests and priestesses?
If it's that extreme, it really becomes about stabilization in that moment. For many groups, again, I think it's an unwritten rule. I see it the same way that many medical professionals do, teachers, government workers. We are mandatory reporters.
Right.
We have to be. We cannot ignore a member of the congregation, right, even idly making a threat to harm themselves or harm
someone else or anything like that.
So we have to, yes, inquire, ask the right questions, do what we can to try to stabilize that situation. But beyond that, again, it may very well be calling law enforcement for a wellness check or, you know, inquiring at a local hospital, because that is, yeah, that's our number one responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, and again, as priests and priestesses, both of us understand there can be some heat in us doing these from certain family members and stuff that might not understand what's going on.
Sure.
So again, you're sticking your nose out there, and I'm trying to warn people, if you're doing this, you know, you need to kind of look at all the consequences of what you're doing.
Absolutely. But normally I think for most situations, it is allowing that person to express themselves, allowing them to vent, to feel the feelings, to
get through things.
And not necessarily to fix it, to do anything, just to hear it, to be an ear. And then depending on the severity of the situation, it is doing check-ins. I need you to call me in an hour. I need you to call me in 4 hours. I need you to call me tomorrow morning, first thing. But it's having a plan in place, right? Because if I don't hear from you tomorrow morning, then a wellness check is required.
Right. Because then we got a process we're going to go through.
Yes.
And again, we're also sitting here and encouraging these people. No, you need to seek out therapy. Yeah. You need to talk to somebody besides just me.
Yeah. I've met a few potential neophytes over the years that I have had to, unfortunately, say to them. And I, one girl, I mean, my Lord, she broke my heart. I still remember her. I will never forget her. I had to, and she was so young, and I had to say, I really think that you need a bit more time in therapy and to deal with, you know, some of the things that you're going through, some of the issues that you're having before starting to take classes, before pursuing this, because I don't quite think you're stable enough yet for that. You're getting there,
right?
You know, but you're not where I'd like you to be. And oh my goodness. I mean, she was a baby. She was, you know, 18, 19 years old. She was just making, but because I felt like I was breaking her spirit in that moment. But I know in the grand scheme of things, it was probably the right decision for her. Yeah.
For the future, to make a better priestess.
Or to just make for a better person, you know, and a more stable, more well-rounded human. I mean, she was so young and dealing with so much trauma that I didn't want craft to become a replacement for doing the other work that she needed to do.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I can see where in the world people would use
easily
this religion to put
any
off
religion. Everything. Any religion Anything. Has that ability. We can hide behind God very easily. Which is, you know, it's good. I mean, the God, singular, plural, however you want to look, right? Crouching behind them, super easy.
Super easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm about out of coffee.
Okay, let's get some more.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks.